Greetings, everyone. I am Crystal Melville, your higher self coach. And thank you so much for tuning in again today. And I really wanted to come forth with something I felt that would be beneficial. I never like to, you know, come on this podcast and just talk about things just because. You know, my goal is to present content that is purposeful, that is beneficial, and it's very valuable. And this one is very personal to me, as well as it really pulls on my heartstrings because I see so many women, even men and their families suffering because of this topic that is in our that's currently on the forefront in our society today. And not that we don't have other things that we need to be concerned about, like an impending world war, you know, the latest findings on the GOP tax cut or tax code, the healthcare bill. I mean, there's so many other things that's affecting Americans and people around the world on a daily basis. You know, there's the what's going on behind the scenes with the currency, and not to mention, you know, the status of the church in 2017, you know, and I mean, so there's so many things that we need to talk about, but I like to work from the inside out. Okay. I like to address the person, the inner being, you know, what's really happening behind this covering, what's going on between our ears, what's behind our eyes, what's in our throat that can't come out. So the topic that that's been trending, and it's very important to us and has gotten a lot of acclaim, is the topic of sexual harassment in the workplace. But you know, sexual harassment doesn't only occur in the workplace, it occurs within the home. And I think that's where it begins first. It could be not only literal, it could be suggestive, it could be within the conversation. It could be a topic that comes up, but it's not handled correctly. So it sparks curiosity within the little boy, the little girl. So people tend to want to curiously find out, you know, what about these body parts? What about these feelings I have? You know, we could talk about masturbation. We could talk about just an overall, you know, growth of the human body. You know, we could talk about hormones, you know, and how big of a factor they play. So it's so many things that I feel that's not covered and really explained and understood early on in life. Okay. And if you're a parent right now that has an adolescent or a child over the age of 8 and they can understand, I think now is the time to have these conversations. Okay, because what we have to understand is, yes, these sexual harassment claims do affect not only the persons involved, but it affects everyone. We're listening. We're taking it in. We have an opinion. You know, we're getting upset. We're getting emotional about it. You know, we're taking a stand. We're trending hashtags. But, you know, we have to have a solution to this. We need a solution to this. And you have both sides. Now you have hashtag Me Too, which is the women that are coming out and that are affected. And now you have hashtag Not Me, which is a trend recently started based on the allegations against Russell Simmons. And, you know, I will have to say that this is a valid point as well. So we need to talk about both sides. We need to come to an understanding about both sides so that we can have a solution, so that the younger audiences and our children, the most vulnerable, have an understanding, so that they can be prepared for when things like this happens, or may happen to them along their growth. You know, some people never experience sexual harassment, but we've all gone through puberty, right? We've all had feelings and emotions. And if we're not taught how to handle them correctly, we could get into a lot of trouble, not only during adolescence, but beyond. Because guess what? If we don't address the issue, we never grow from it. We never grow up in that area. And that is why we're seeing all of these allegations and complaints now, because they've been happening for years, you know, and both sides, men and women, we've never, most of us have never been taught how to handle it emotionally. And if something happens that's inappropriate, you know, how should we feel about it? Who should we tell when, how soon, and why? You know, do we have to walk on eggshells to go to our parents, our pastor, our teachers, our counselors? You know, who is that safe person? Who is that? Where is that safe place that we can go to discuss this? You know, so I'm actually glad and happy that these that this is a conversation now. We've been need to have these, and you know, and I'm sure in every age, in every decade, we've had them. But guess what happens? Everything just goes away. And another thing comes up, another major issue in life, and then these go to the back burner. But believe it or not, everything is related. You know, even the pending war, all the different opinions and decisions on both sides of the table, they're all connected because remember, we're people. You know, and how we respond to our emotions, you know, how we feel, what we think about life, our worldview, everything is cemented in us at an early age. And if we don't find a common ground, if we don't understand how to balance everything and have an understanding, we're going to give off a lot of negative feedback. We're going to come to decisions based on our negative emotions. So I just wanted to come forth to address not only the sexual harassment issues, explain the Me Too hashtag, Me Too hashtag not me, trending issues and stories, but I wanted to talk about my story. You know, I can't honestly discuss the Me Too versus not me story unless I give my own story. So here we go. So my Me Too story is this. Aside from the fact I was raised in the foster care system, you know, I grew up very curious. I was very also shy. You know, I was always seeking to understand something. You know, I was observing the people around me. Of course, when I went to school, I observed the people around me there. So, you know, when you get into school, that's a whole different arena. You know, that's the industry versus inferiority stage. You know, you're looking at your peers. What is everybody doing? I want to fit in. I want to look like them. You know, I want to wear clothes that accentuate my body. You know, I want to be the popular girl or guy. So that's a very sensitive and could be possible destructive phase in development. Because if we don't have that self-esteem to know and understand that, hey, it's okay to be you, it's okay to grow and discover what's next, how, you know, and that your growth isn't final at that point. You know, you're still growing, you're still changing, your voice is going to change, you know, your hair is going to grow longer, or maybe not, your skin is going to change, you know, your body is going to develop more, you know, so, and there's things going on inside, the hormones are releasing, you know, but depending on your environment, you know, what may or may not inhibit these hormones from functioning well. You know, do you live in a stressful environment? Are you a victim of abuse, not just physical but emotional? Are you being told you're fat? You know, you're not good enough. You know, you should look like this, or your hair should look like this. What's going on in your home, in that safe place? You know, are you compared to a sibling? You know, are you in danger? Okay, are you really in an abusive situation where your life is threatened? So all of these things have an effect on your hormones. They have an effect on your growth. So that is why you shouldn't compare yourself to anyone else. You shouldn't compare yourself to the next girl, your classmate, your neighbor. Because you live different lives. And besides, you're unique. You're your own person. So these are the things that we have to understand growing up. So for me, I grew up in foster care. It was just me, my foster mom, and my foster brother. But different people came around, older people, some people I didn't really care to be around because they always had their own opinion. They were very negative. They looked at you, oh, you're growing up this way, you're too this, you're too that. I was always annoyed, you know. Sometimes I didn't want to be there. So I checked out into my own world. Everything was beautiful, and I was a princess, and my Prince Charming would come and keep me safe from this place, you know. So, and of course, it was TV, and the 80s. I grew up in the 80s. I was born in the 70s, but grew up in the 80s, really. So, TV started to become more sexual. We started to see more hot, steamy love scenes and soap operas. And it made you fantasize about sex and the other, the opposite sex. And at the time, Michael Jackson was my idol. That Thriller album, though, oh my gosh, the album cover was lit. Like, so, you know, I fantasized about being his wife, and we're gonna have these babies. We're gonna, you know. So I mean, come on, everybody had someone on their wall, or you know, thought about someone in that way at that point. But. And then I grew into another stage. Like, come on, you know, girl, get over it. Life is real, you know. And then I started to get more into my academia. I was very serious about my studies because I knew in foster care, listen, it was me and it was me. Okay, I was my only ticket out of there. So I stayed more focused on school. I did very well in school. I got scholarship, the whole bit. But I also had this curiosity when it came to men. And I wanted to look good. I wanted to, you know, look pleasing. And I had a boyfriend, a long-standing boyfriend. So I wasn't sexually abused by anyone in my childhood, thank God. But I did menarch early. I did start a cycle early. And I also had a boyfriend at a young age. It was consensual. It wasn't perverted. I said yes. I thought it was love. He loved me. I love him back. My mom knew him. He would come around. I went to his family. It was like that kind of thing for me. So, but coming into my young adulthood, I had different relationships, you know, that wasn't the plan, but it happened, you know, like the rest of us, or most of us. But my Me Too story, I would say, that correlates to what's trending now is an unlikely situation where I was a baby Christian. I was a new believer in the Adventist faith at the time. And this was a person that claimed to be a deacon, or, you know, a person that was a lay pastor. And he was fresh out of a divorce, a very contentious one at that, because he was always complaining. He, you know, he had this certain type of persona, someone who was, you know, he had his air about him, you know. You could tell that he was thirsty and he was looking for someone or something to elevate him, you know. But he was very hurt, very upset, that he had to dish out money, he had to give up belongings and that. So I was his sounding board. You know, he had newly moved to the area where I was living. And, you know, I think we met at church. Yeah, we did meet at church. And, you know, I don't know to this day what attracted me to him. And I mean, those days in my you know, those were my new convert days. I was new. I was a baby Christian, like I said. And mind you, I want to state this, and I'm going to have another, I'm going to do a podcast or a teaching specifically about being a baby Christian, you know, because there's a lot of things that the church doesn't teach you. Okay. There's a lot of things that you would never learn in church. You know, these things are spiritually discerned. These things, you have to experience it. You have to understand it in your mind. You have to reconcile it. So, so I was a baby Christian when I met this gentleman, and, you know, he had issues, okay? So I kind of felt sorry for him because I had this inferiority complex. Yeah, diagnosed by myself, right? So I went to help people. I was sorry for people, you know, and note to self, I mean, you can't change anyone. You can only change yourself. You can only make yourself better. You can have compassion, but you can only make yourself better. So, yeah, so note that. So anyway, my me story continues. So he was new to the area. He was trying to get everything. He was trying to get situated. He was in Florida, and he moved from North Carolina. And he was trying to get situated. So, of course, me, yay, I want to help. And mind, this is a guy, you know, at the time single. Like I said, newly divorced. I was divorced and single, single mom at that. So I offered, and he was literally just moving. He was literally, the U-Haul was there and moving and everything. And we even helped him move in. You know, we were doing the new Christian church thing. We're going to help our brother and sister in Christ. So we did that bit, and then, you know, he wanted to show appreciation by cooking for us. So I was in nurse, school nurse at the time at one of the largest popular high schools there in Central Florida. So I would work like an hour away from my job. So one afternoon, he invited me for dinner, early dinner. I remember stressing, I have to get home to my kids. You know, it's an hour drive. I got off at 3, so it wasn't too late. But, you know, he said, well, why don't you come over? I want to cook for you. You guys have been so good to me. I want to really show my appreciation. You could even take some food home for the kids. So I was like, now listen, here, this is what I want to teach on a totally different topic later on. But in the back of my mind, I was like, girl, what are you doing? This is still a guy, you know? And I noticed his demeanor. He had a kind of a controlling spirit about him, you know? Very domineering, like, no, don't take no for an answer. But he was also very crafty with his words, you know? And he keeps stressing, I want to say thank you. I really want to do this. So, and I was an hour away. I was, you know, it was a day when, you know, that I was just thinking about that traffic on I-4, and I didn't want to think about cooking. And, you know, he was a very good cook, by the way. He worked at, he just got a job at a cafeteria manager, but I you know, he was a very good cook. And okay, so he cooked, and I said yes, and I went there, like, two minds. One was very, and I was innocent. I didn't go there for anything. I just wanted to have dinner, learn more about you, listen, you know, if I can pray with you about your situation, and then go home. So I went in, you know, his home was very well kept. He was a clean gentleman, had his living. He was very, you know, he knew how to set the place, set the table very well, you know. And yeah, he definitely had great etiquette, like I said, and well-spoken. So, you know, and he had the voice of a preacher, you know. He kept, you know, he had this certain type of vibrato about his voice. So I went in, blessed the home, the whole bit. I'm like, serious, you know, went in there. Like, Crystal, you're here. I'm talking to myself. You're here. Everything's going to be fine. We're just going to have dinner, and you're going to go. It's going to be great. So went in, had dinner. I remember sitting on the couch. We're talking about, you know, work and his new job and everything like that. And then the dinner was prepared. And then we sat at the table. I remember it was some nice rice with beans. And I think it was it stew chicken? Or anyway, it was a nice dinner with vegetables. It was very nice. And and then I think we did have dessert as well. It was near the holidays. So I think we did have some dessert, and I ate like a lady. Of course, I didn't go in, even though the food was very good. And okay, I said, well, you know, I'm just gonna digest a little, and then I'm gonna go. I kept on alluding to the fact that I needed to go. I kept saying, wow, that I could imagine I-4, it's packed. And he kept saying, you know, just relax a bit, you know, you let your food. Like, you know, he wanted to make me feel relaxed, but he didn't want me to leave right away. I sensed that. So afterwards, you know, we ate and then relaxed, and he was showing me pictures of his children. He had 2 children, a boy and a girl. And I was telling him about mine, and I remember him being alarmed that I had 4 children. And I was like, really? You're alarmed? Okay. Strike one. And when I mean strike one, I meant as a friend. I'm like, okay, well, I know not to bring my children around you. Well, I know not to, this is not going to be the best. We're not going to be besties. So I remember he's a guy. So I took a chance because I didn't know him. I didn't know him at all. I rested on the fact that we met at church. And I think a lot of women fall in this trap, you know. And not just women, men too. They fall in the trap that they met a girl at church and that she's, you know, God's gift. So, so it's getting later. And I said, you know. And then all of a sudden he gets up and he said, let me give you a tour around the house. I'm like, in my mind, tour? I don't really need a tour around your house. It's an apartment, okay? It's not the Versailles, okay? So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. So we, you know, he had 2 bedrooms. He would show me all his boxes. And then, of course, he was yapping about the house he left there. He showed me pictures of it. And he was just talking. And I was really getting annoyed inside. And I just, wow. I'm like, girl, just, you know, I'm just praying this to just be quick. And then he showed me the bathroom, and then he was, you know, talking about other apartments he went to and why he chose this one. And the next thing, we end up to his bedroom, and I'm like, okay. And then I stayed more close to the door. And then next thing you know, he started to, you know, talk to me. And I noticed him etching closer. And then, of course, you started to talk about me, and then you're very beautiful, and I'm like, oh, what the heck did I get myself into? You know, and this is getting personal. And I'm like, I did not come here for this. I'm thinking like this in my mind, like, why am I even in his room? You know, and the next thing you know, he said, well, have a seat on the bed, just sit there, and then let's talk. And old stupid me, I sat there on the bed talking. And next thing you know, he came on to me. You know, he overpowered me. And I was pulling away. I was saying, no. I didn't come here for that. I want to go home to my children. I didn't come here for that. And then he's very forceful. You know, he wasn't a big buff dude, but he was strong enough. And the next thing you know, he overpowered me and kissing me. I said, no, I didn't come here for that. I don't want this. He said, no, it's okay. And then he started to, you know, undress his pants and get everything all loose, if you know what I mean. And then next thing he said, no, please. He's actually begging me to do this. And, you know, and then he just was in a state where he's not taking no for an answer. And then I remember just tensing up. In my mind, I was like, how do I get out of this? I felt, you know, powerless. It didn't think of me to scream. I guess because part of me felt, because I met him at church. You know, he was a lay preacher. He's, you know, he wasn't a criminal on the street. So, okay. It's not that bad. You know, I was a single woman. I was a single mom. I was stressed, you know. I don't know. You know, I didn't want it. I didn't come there for it. You know, but he started to, kiss me and get me aroused. And on top of it, we ate. It was just like the quintessential seduction. But I didn't want it. You know, I was saying no, no, no. And then please, please, please. And then I just gave in. Next thing you know, I gave in. And next thing you know, he was inside of me. But it was not love. It just wasn't what it was supposed to be, because it wasn't really consensual. I just let it happen. I just let it happen for him to get his rocks off and just to calm down and just go away. You know, I remember feeling belittled. I remember feeling stupid. I remember walking away from there feeling guilty that I didn't go home straight to my children. I stopped trying to think I was going to be nice to somebody and accept their invitation and, you know, be a sounding board. And, you know, it was terrible. It was really, really terrible. And I never forgot it. You know, I remember only telling one person, and she was the head deaconess. You know, she never said anything to anyone or told anyone about it. You know, I never reported it because as a rape or because I was there. I agreed to go. You know, I was in his house, in his bedroom. I ate his food. I sat there. I didn't want it, but it happened. You know, and that was, yeah. So that was my story. That was my Me Too story. You know, and I want to say this. As a woman, I learned years after that I asked myself, how did I let this happen? I blame myself somewhat too. Of course, it made me think that this was an animal. This person, he's an animal. He's not what he portrays himself to be. You know, on the outside, people portray themselves to be something that they're really not. And they lie to themselves. But I think people fail to see themselves as a human being that's growing, that's sinful, that makes bad choices, mistakes. But I don't think that people often look back to their childhoods and their growth process and really make a solid effort to change some things. You know, I think we just accept what happened to us and accept our parents for what they did or didn't do, or whoever abused us or made us think a certain way. We either accepted it, we agreed with it, we denied it, but felt that we couldn't change it by our own actions or by what we did after. And that, you know, that just says that we're fearful, you know. We're afraid to confront things that bother us. We're afraid to confront things and people that affected our growth, affected our development along the way, our spiritual growth as well. Because that there, I mean, thankfully, it didn't make me shun away from the fact that I needed help. It made me more run towards my desire to be wholesome, my desire to not be lost anymore. It made me realize how lost I was. And, you know, and that's the real lesson. That's the real solution, I feel, to the hashtag me too versus hashtag not me scenario. Because you have on the one side me too, hashtag me too. I just told you my me too story. But on the hashtag not me, you do have men that, I mean, men are men. You know, they have sex on their minds like 95% of the time. Most men. Not all men are like that, though. There are some really... There are some men who are Christ-minded. You know, who are happily... Who are in divine unions with their wives. Very few, though. But the rest of the population... They're driven by the outside, how a woman looks, you know, her body type, how she talks, everything she brings outside. Very seldom a guy gets to stop and look and sit down and have a talk with you, a conversation, and really gets to know you, what you like, you don't like, how you feel about certain things, and will actually attempt to please you or really get to understand you. Okay, wow. You know, how many men would go with you on that journey to grow? Not many. So, but as a woman who's also a mother of grown men now, they're in their 20s, I learned to understand men not only from my past experiences with them, being married in the past, but also being a mother to men. So I see how they behave, you know, and they behave different to us. And women, I feel we need to be more firm, but not only firm, but we need to make a decision to not do something. Like, because we're so intuitive, it's a gift, really, that keeps giving, but we don't use it well, okay? We don't apply it. Okay, that's wisdom, when you apply knowledge, divine knowledge. And God gives us divine knowledge all the time, you know, but we neglect it. You know, we don't use it. It's a reason why we get the foresight. You know, I mean, look, even outside of our spiritual beings, our inner selves. I mean, don't you remember growing up as a child, your mom would tell you, don't eat that candy from that old lady. Or, you know, men are there, a dime a dozen. Men are this, men are that. You know, and just certain things to put you on your guard. It's a reason why they told us those things. Because they experienced things before. They may not have broken it down, which I feel that they should have more. But they were from a different era. But they gave us warning signs. You know? And a lot of the times we just think, oh, they're just talking. They don't know what they're saying, but they do because they've lived it. And that's why I do follow the older generation. They don't communicate as well. They don't disclose information that's needed. They keep a lot of things in. There's a lot of secrets. And that's why the generation after walks on eggshells, because they feel that they're messing up when the generation before messed up too. But they just never sat us down and told us this is what happened. And they neglect to give pertinent information that we need to grow. That we need to say, you know, that's why. Or, oh, I'm not going to do that. You know, so we're left, we're really in a pickle. So to talk about the not me side is, like I said, I have two sons. I've been married before, you know. I've grown to understand men quite a bit. But I think as women, we have to own who we are. It's not about them, it's about us. And vice versa. It's not about women, it's about men. So we have to, I think the solution is, and the key is, we have to remain authentic. We have to be an individual first. And we have to carry that. We have to realize that we're carrying our powers within us and we're carrying it. It should be exuded. Like women, we have to listen to those intuitive clues. If the voice inside of you is your back of your mind, or that voice inside is telling you, listen, even though you want to be nice, this is a guy, you shouldn't go to his place by yourself. Listen to that. But we don't. Because we so want to help. Why do we want to help so much? Because we're nurturers. But there's something about that. You know, it has to do with self-esteem. It has to do with negative feedback we've gotten in the past. It has to do with possible relationships that we've failed in, and we think that we didn't do good in, so we want to make up for it. You know, so, or if a guy told you that you're lazy or you're not helpful, you're not smart, you don't do this, the next guy you see, you want to be every woman too. You know, does that make sense, guys? So we have to be careful. I think that we need to spend more time, men and women, building up ourselves, and not building up in the sense of puffing up yourself and thinking that you're better than others, but getting to know you. Getting to understand your worldview. You know, how do you see the world? Where do you fit in it? What is your purpose? You know, how do you express yourself? What is important? What's not important? Do you prioritize? You know, and when we get these divine clues, you know, the intuition that we talk about all the time, women's intuition. We need to use it. So many times you hear women's intuition, we're this, we're that. But we end up saying, oh my gosh, why didn't I listen? Why didn't I follow my mind? Bum. You know, we have to come to grips. We have to eat that. We have to own that. And we have to find a way to not ignore it. We have to accept the gift. We have to use it. But we first have to accept that we're flawed. We have to accept. We have to stop feeling sorry for ourselves. And we stop playing the victim. And we have to acknowledge that we need help. We have to acknowledge that, hey, look, I can't do this anymore. This is scary. This is putting me at risk for, you know, this could cause me to die out here in these streets. This could put me in a situation where I could be the victim of a serial killer. You know, yeah, because for all I know, this guy in my story could have been a serial killer. You know, this, I mean, I'm telling you, you know, God is really with me because, and with many of us, many of you, you know, because, wow, that could have been it. You know, people could snap at any moment. It doesn't matter who it is. And when someone is really lost and sick in their minds and haven't reconciled their past, they don't care about their position anymore. Like, for example, like when a man or woman crosses the line, you is that, okay, you're out. You're now a criminal. Okay, this is not criminal activity. Some people don't care anymore because you're out. You are now a witness to that. So you can call them out. You can, you know, have them arrested, get them fired. I mean, we're walking in dangerous waters here, guys. This is bigger than what we think. Which is why we need to examine it for what it is and come up with a solution. And the solution is understanding oneself, valuing oneself, protecting oneself. You know, and using the power within to say no and mean it, and to prevent harm by not putting ourselves in certain situations. Okay, so you're saying, okay, so how did I know my employer was going to come on to me or sexually harass me on the workplace? You don't know that. But nowadays in 2017, there's a lot of reviews about companies now. You know, we're more privy to information that we didn't have even 10 years ago. There's reviews on just about anything. There's reviews on books, products, and companies. So before you apply to work to a company, check the reviews. They're very helpful. And if you hear the same things at least twice, two or more times, that's a red flag. Okay? I mean, a lot of the times, we're really stricken by the pride of life. Okay? We want things. We want a position. You know, we're ruled by our ambition at this point. We want things. We want the life, the American dream. We want a big house, a nice car, the perfect family. But these are fake things. And when I say fake, I mean you can get these things, but they're not really important because they can go away. Okay? What's important is your sense of self, your self-esteem, your self-worth, your identity. And believe me, you, if we don't take care of ourselves, we can lose all of that by one bad decision, by allowing one person to come into our lives to strip it away. And we'll forever be known as this, the victim of this person. Okay? And I think that when we begin to own our part in it, even if it's a small part, I think it will help us to not feel like a victim anymore, because we're calling ourselves out. You see, so while we're calling people out that's hurting us, we need to call ourselves out and admit that we didn't listen. Now, in the case of children, that's a totally different thing. A child is in a different position because they're helpless. They're powerless. But who's over that child? But now, instead of the child, you have to go to the guardian. You have to go to the parent. They're the ones that's responsible in that sense. When your child is an adult and grown, they're no longer responsible for you. You're not responsible for yourself. But when it's a child that's being abused, the parent is the one that's responsible for their safety. And the parents need to listen now to those divine cues. The mothers need to use their women's intuition. That's what we got it for. That's why we have it. To protect ourselves and our young. So we need to stop ignoring the signs. They're always there. So if anything, I hope that all of these, this climate now with the sexual harassment and the abuse, we need to take it very seriously. We need to check ourselves. We need to wake up. You know, we really need to stay woke, you know, ongoing, and teach our little girls what to look out for. And we need to be more vocal and don't hide things like the generation prior. Okay? So that's how we solve this, by being authentic to ourselves, you know, valuing our self-worth and saying, hey, I'm not going to no apartment with you. I'm sorry. I need to respectfully decline. You know, we could have a potluck at church where there are more than one person there as a witness. I'm not going with you alone. I mean, that's why you shouldn't be alone with your male doctor in the office when he's supposed to be checking you. He needs a nurse or another qualified professional there as a witness. Or you bring your husband in. Does that make sense? You know, there's a thing about two. There's a power of two. There's a witness. When one is down and helpless, the other one helps them up. You know, that's Bible. That's biblical truth. It's a power of two. You know, not two as in the victim and the abuser. Because one is going to overpower the other. But when you go into a situation, if you're invited into a situation, you need to invite a witness, a friend. So, you know, I should have brought along a girlfriend, you know, or just say no. Just don't put yourself in that situation. If you're in a corporate office and your boss wants you to meet after five, that's the end of the work time. You're supposed to be on your way home. You need to say, okay, I'm sorry, but I have to get home to my children. But in some instances, you do have to work hours. You need to know that more people will be there. And if you don't see someone showing up, you need to clear out of there. Or you need to ask around the office. Because you could show up and next thing you know, it's only you and your employer and the door is closed and you're in. So you need to see a memo. You need to have a public memorandum to all employees. You need to ask the other person in your cubicle, did you get this memo too? And you'd be like, no, I didn't get it. So how come I'm the only one that got it? Then you need to ask questions. Go to your boss and say, how come I'm the only one that got this memo? Are you sure it's just a group or is it just me and you? And you need to say, if it's just me and you, it can't happen after five. It needs to be within the office when other people are there. Okay, now I know what you're thinking. A lot of these people did the do during office hours. Now, that's where you're going to take this mind game to another level now. Because now, okay, if it's within office hours and you agreed to go into your boss's office and things start to go left, what should you do? Most people have their cell phones on them. Call 911. Bang the door down. Scream to the top of your lungs. I'm pretty sure he'll let you out. So that just tells me that, now this is the not me side, and it's still blurred there, because you, the man, most of the time you go in there with your intentions, and you know that the woman is at work, and she's probably, you know, she probably won't scream to be embarrassed. But let me tell you something. If you don't really want something to happen, you will scream, you will do something, you will get someone's attention. And I think that's where we need to grow to. We need to stop protecting these evil people. We need to stop protecting them. We need to stop feeling embarrassed, stop protecting ourselves, expose ourselves. And by exposing yourself, you're freeing yourself. Okay? Because sometimes, you know, people do make bad decisions without thinking. But you can always correct it quickly if you just, you know, be honest and, you know, be brave. You know, because guess what? If this person is doing this to you, he or she, they're doing it to somebody else. You know, so if you're in a situation during office hours, hey, stop it right there. I don't care who it is, at risk of losing your job. I've been fired before because I stood up for the right thing on my job before. Oh, yeah. I can so relate. That's why I can talk about it. Because I've been there, done that. You know, I've owned my part, even if it's a small part. And I've owned the fact that I can change the course of my life by making better decisions down the road. You know, now in the case of some of the complaints I've heard and we've heard, so I don't have to say allegedly, we've heard it on various news sites. You have one woman who's an actual mistress, and now she's speaking out and saying it was an abuse of power. It may have been an abuse of power, but you consented. So if you consented, technically it's not rape. You know, technically you're responsible just as the gentleman. You know, if you know the gentleman is married, you're now an adulterer. I mean, you're part of an adulterous relationship. So instead of giving you props or giving you shine, you know, you should really acknowledge, if you're going to come public, just come with everything. But be ready to understand that you have a part to play in this, you know, and to understand that, hey, at some point early on, you could have stopped this. Especially if you know the person is married, on top of it all. Worse is your employer, your boss, coworker, he's married. You have no business continuing a relationship with a married person. Okay, and that just shows that your lack of self-worth, self-esteem, self-value, and the like. So we have to own our sin. We have to own our share of the responsibility. While it may have been an abuse of power, you succumb to it. So that makes you a victim. But I'm saying you don't have to remain a victim. You could really change this whole thing. Expose the evil. Expose yourself for how you felt. And forgive yourself. Yes. Not only, I mean, how can you forgive the perpetrator or the abuser if you don't forgive yourself first? You know, and I think that's where a lot of people get stuck there. They get stuck because they think that, you know, oh, I'm a victim and this shouldn't happen to me. And everybody comes in and hugs you. Yes, you need a hug. But you also need to know that, hey, you can no longer be a victim by forgiving yourself for allowing it to happen, by putting yourself in the position, by not speaking up soon enough. Okay. Or not following your intuition. Okay. And being a victim, it's also a powerful place. It's a place when you understand that you now know that there are evil people in the world, but once you understand that you're still a person worthy of love and understanding, it gives you that awareness. You know, it's a teacher. You know, it makes you aware now. You're like, it's like that bubble is now popped. You know, and thankfully, you're alive to tell the story. Some victims aren't. You know, but there's always two sides to this coin. There's a not me. Some men are Some women do lie and say this man raped me and he didn't. And that's the thing. When you're not there, it's hard for you to say it happened that way. Because when a woman comes out, unless even if there's proof of the semen or whatever, there can be proof it's semen and it still means, and it's still consensual. I mean, the semen is evidence that you had sex. That's all it is. Unless there's real evidence of tearing and abuse and cuts and everything, that's a different level. That's more indicative of a rape. You know, so all of these different scenarios have layers to them. So we can't compare. We have to judge each one accordingly. And I think that's what we need to do. We don't need to group everybody into a Me Too section here. You know, victims of rape is a victim of a rape. You know, a person who consented, that's different. You know, a person who went along with an affair or you know, an occurrence, a sexual, you know, innuendo, that's different. They're all different levels, but at the end of the day, the point is we all have a voice. And no means no. Okay? Let your no be heard, let it be felt, let it be understood. You know, and let's do something about it. Let's not just sit there and just feel sorry for ourselves and point fingers. And I mean, how do you move on? That's why so many people are stuck and they have this type of things haunting them for 20 years. You know, because we have to grow from it. We have to put ourselves in a better situation. And another side to this is, if we don't grow, if we don't understand, if we don't have closure, but really understand ourselves better and become better people, most women, and I say women because we mainly do this, men too, men do it as well, but most people on both sides, we close ourselves off from healthy relationships. Excuse me. And that's why we think, oh, all men are dogs or all women are hoes or whatever. And they're not serious. And that's why we do. We make, you know, different choices. You know, we settle or we go to people, who, you know, who don't love us. We attract the wrong people. You know, so we have to be careful going forward what type of relationships we find ourselves in as a result of this situation. You know, so you have to give yourself time. A lot of people just fly to another relationship to get over one, but that's never the right thing to do. That's unhealthy. You know? So all in all, I would say the solution to the hashtag Me Too versus hashtag Not Me propagandas and innuendos and claims and, you know, scenarios are to understand oneself. Know yourself, know your worth, for real. Know what to accept, what not to accept. Examine every situation. You know, if you're an employee, you're an employer, you're supposed to know your roles. And it has nothing to do with sex. If you want to date somebody or if you want to court someone and you're serious about a relationship, not just a hookup, then somebody, either you have to step down or you have to find another place to work. It's not acceptable. You know, and I hope that this is heard and it's felt deep, because it came from a deep place. It came from a place of someone who understands, who's been there. I understand both sides, but I also understand that we're all human. We all have needs, but we need to learn how to interpret these needs. You know, just because I need to be with someone, it doesn't mean I have to. It doesn't mean I can be with anyone. It doesn't mean I can just take them or force myself upon them. That's my problem. Okay? And we need to learn to have healthy relationships. But again, it stems back from how we were raised, how we were brought up, our worldview, how we see women, how we treat women. How we see men, how we treat men, how do we respect one another? It has to do with self-respect. It begins with self-respect. And it ends with respecting one another. Okay? And all of this comes about by having healthy communication. You know, and when we talk about it, you know, we're hearing different views all over social media and the media sites. But I think a lot of the times we're only hearing it from one side. We're only hearing one point of view. So, you know, I want more men to speak out on this. Okay, if you're hearing this podcast, are you watching this video, speak out, leave your comments, you know, engage with other men. You know, I'm engaged with women. Women talk about it, you know, and please, let's not play the victim. Let's just have an open conversation. Let's talk deeply about how we really feel. What got us to that point? What put us in that situation? Why we allowed it, you know? And if we didn't allow it, if we were raped, you know, if we didn't speak up or say anything, what made us not speak up? You know, and how did you feel when you did speak up? You know, and if you haven't spoken up, why haven't you? You know, you need to be free. This person, whoever did this to you, they need to be held accountable. We need to hold each other accountable. You know, if your child was abused and your parent allowed it or they knew about it, they didn't say anything, you need to hold them accountable. You need to have that talk with them. So that your relationships could get better. And if not, at least you'll be free. At least you won't keep your parents, you know, hostile, a hostage. At least if even you're not communicating as you should, at least you will communicate, but you'll be free. You won't have that resentment towards them. Because they're still your parents and you're still their child. That's not going to change. You know, so it's really about freeing yourself. And that's why I created Journey to Your Higher Self, because we need to be on the journey to our higher selves. And it involves being free. It involves being identifying who you are, whose you are, where you're going. You will never know these things unless you know who you are. We will never begin to grow unless we appreciate who we are, you know, and we will never understand our purpose unless we appreciate what the outcome should be. Why are we doing it? What's the bigger picture? Although we may not can understand the bigger picture fully, but at least we understand right now. And for me, doing this video, speaking up about my Me Too story and sharing it with the world, this is a part of my purpose. This is why I'm here. You know, I understand men, I'm going to understand men, but mainly I'm going to understand who I am as a woman. And that's very important. You know, I've talked about my own weaknesses, but the thing is, I don't celebrate them. I talk to them, I talk with them, and then I talk to them. And I say, listen, we're done here. I'm moving on. This is not going to happen anymore. I have to make better decisions. I have two daughters as well. They know everything about me. But I also know that I'm different. They're different. You know, they're going to see things differently. They live in a different age. But I want them to know that, you know, I mean, what is that adage? You know, the players change, but the game stays the same. I mean, we get old, they get old, they're young, they're going to get older. I mean, we go through the same things, but the game of life stands. We have to do life. You know, life is no game, but, you know, it's just, you know, metaphorically speaking, you know, but life should be enjoyed, and you can't enjoy life if you're stuck. You can't enjoy life if you're just basing it on bias and other people's opinions about you. You know, we need to come to the point where we can have a conversation with other people and not get offended. We need to say, okay, that's how you feel, and get to understand why they feel that way. Let them talk. Get to know about their past, you know, and then you'll understand why. And then you can say, oh, okay. You know, when we get to that point of understanding, everything gets better. So we have to stop listening to the people who's trying to drown us with all this information, propaganda, and all these hashtags, and all these different things we're doing in society to speak up about it. We're speaking up about it, but we're not doing anything about it. See, there's a difference. What are we doing behind the scenes? Are we better people? You know, what's going to stop you from cheating on your spouse again? You know, just talking about it isn't enough. You have to make the necessary changes in your thoughts, in your words. Are you suggestive? You know, are you still flirting with women? You know, I mean, come on. We have to put in the work. You know, if we want people to respect us, even as a man, you know, maybe you shouldn't have your body exposed so much. Maybe you shouldn't be suggestive. Maybe you shouldn't be flirting or just, you know, having perverse speech at the center point of your communication. Maybe you should respect your wife in front of other people. People look for doors to walk into. And again, I'm not saying that that's an excuse for someone to grab your package or make you feel emasculated in front of your wife. It's not an excuse for them to do that to you. But everything begins with you. Is what you give off. Okay? Is what you put out there. You know, I mean, no one is going to do that to the Pope. You know, unless behind the scenes he allows it. No one from the street is just going to do that unless they're really crazy. You know, that's not, we haven't heard of that for a reason. You know what I mean? So, I mean, who are we? A lot of times, you know, we get sucked in to the fame and the celebrity of it all. And we're supposed to look this way. Our breasts are supposed to be perky. Our butt's supposed to look a certain way. Our eyebrows are snatched. And sometimes, you know, they don't look snatched. They look something else. But I keep that, you know, to myself. I won't elaborate on that. I mean, you know, we're supposed to have a glow and everything. I mean, what happened to your natural glow? You're supposed to be glowing from within. You know, so we're now in a society where we want to look like everyone else. When is the real you going to stand up? I mean, no wonder you're targeted. You know, when is the real you going to stand up? You know, I think that's the real solution to this. The real you needs to stand up. And if you don't know who the real you is, the person that you want to be, who's not down for sexual harassment, who won't tolerate abuse of any kind, you know, who is aware, who wants to be aware of potential rapists, who wants to be aware of their situation, their surroundings, who wants to be a better parent to protect their children from a rapist. You know, a person who wants to make better decisions, who wants to be more careful. You know, a person who really is faithful. A person who wants a better relationship with God so that we know that we have His protection. Okay? We need to vocalize that. Say who you want to be. And then you will be who you want to be. Say and do. Do the things that this person would do. Okay? That's how we can be equal in this me too versus not me scenario. That's how we can understand one another. And hopefully forgive one another. Forgive ourselves and move on. And set our children up for better. Because if we don't, we're going to have me too and versus not me hashtags for centuries to come. Now, do we want that? I don't think so. So, guys, thank you so much for listening. I know it's a long video and podcast, but there was so much to talk about. It's you know something you just can't brush over. Please share your comments. Please, I want to hear your comments. And if this video has been helpful, if it's been insightful and valuable to you, please share it, because I'm pretty sure it'll be valuable to someone else. Please share it. Please come back. Like my podcast page. Share it. It's available on iTunes. It's available on Podomatic.com at Journey to Your Higher Self. podomatic.com. It's available on iTunes. You can find me on social media at Higher Self Coach on Twitter, Crystal Melville on Instagram, on Facebook, The Higher Self Coach. And you could also contact me via my website, www.crystalemelville.com. And I am so excited to announce that I have just launched a new community for women, and it is called Womanary. And this community, it's an engaging teaching community, really supporting women, teaching them, engaging them, and we share tips, we give advice. I don't like to use the word advice, but we really share our experiences and we listen. You know, we support women in every area of life. This is for women of all ages, and we really help one another to become wholesome because we deserve that. We do so much, and yet we're so fragmented. So we need to come back together. So that's why I started Womanary. You can join the community, or you can request an invitation at Womanary, Womery, .mn.co. That's the community's link. And you can follow the blogs. I will be, I just really started this blog. I started back up on womanary.com. And I'll be posting, you know, a lot of my insights on what we just talked about and more things to really bring value and to, you know, to help us just sift through all of this chaotic world. And so I'm just so thankful that you're listening, and I hope you come back, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of this year, and let's look forward to a new beginning in 2018. Bye now.